Shalom, welcome to SJTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Chasdai, Pesach Ben Dov, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Harab Meir Kahana, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTFers, I just finished doing 4 new videos. The videos have been recorded, but I haven't developed them yet on our program, which means it's going to take hours to develop each one of them, so it'll be a couple of days before you see these 4 videos. 2 of them are in Hebrew, 2 of them are in English, and they're on 2 different subjects, and I'd like to discuss those 2 vital subjects right now. I think that you should know about what we're talking about and what you're going to be seeing on the videos. And on SJTF, I can be even more expansive than I am on the videos. The first subject is about Defense Minister Moshe Ya'alon from the Netanyahu government. He's the defense minister of the Netanyahu government. He admitted in the Israeli Knesset, in the Israeli parliament, that there are 31 Arab building projects right now going on in Section C with the assistance of the Israeli government. 31 Arab building projects. What is Section C? Section C is the critical part of Judea and Samaria that connects Judea and Samaria to Jerusalem. This is the area which may very well decide whether or not there's going to be a Palestinian state. If there is a so-called Palestinian state, of course, it's national suicide for Israel. And of course, there are no Palestinians, there is no Palestine, it's all an Arab lie and an Arab bluff. But if a so-called Palestine state is created, that means Israel goes back to the pre-1967 borders that are only 6 to 9 miles wide. That is national suicide for Israel. And in this critical section, the Israeli government is assisting with 31 Arab building projects so that there could be more Arabs living there, more Arab homes, more Arab buildings, more Arabs living in this critical part of Judea and Samaria. So that there would be a contiguous Palestinian state, quote unquote. That's what the Israeli government is doing, helping with 31 Arab building programs. And he admitted, now here's the really unbelievable part, he admitted that while the Israeli government is helping with 31 Arab building projects, there is not one Jewish building project. 0 building projects for Jews. No building for Jews is going on. But 31 huge Arab building projects for the enemies of the Jewish people, and not one for the Jews. This is a Jewish government? These are Jewish leaders? And everybody portrays Netanyahu and Ya'alon and Naftali Bennett, who's part of the government, and all the other people in the government, and the foreign minister, Avigdor Lieberman. Everybody portrays these traitors as tough guys who are really standing up. These guys on the ground are giving in to Barack Hussein Obama and John Kerry 1,000,000%. They're giving in. They have not permitted Jewish buildings since the year 2009 when they first came into office, since the cursed day when these animals first came into office. There has been no Jewish building, a complete anti-Semitic Jewish building freeze. You know what that means? That means we're losing the state of Israel. We're losing the battle every single day, building by building, house by house, community by community. We're losing the battle. That means that irrevocable facts are being created on the ground. Facts that will be irreversible. Facts that will be impossible to defeat. That's what's being created by this evil government. And no one is even saying anything about it. Nobody's even complaining about it. Nobody's even speaking up except for us. No one is saying anything about it. Yes, the Yesha Council and other groups and rabbis occasionally say, why aren't you building for Jews? This is unfair. Occasionally they'll make some little statement, but that's it. There's no protest campaign. There's nothing to pressure Netanyahu on. There's no counter-pressure to push for Jewish rights and for Jewish survival when you have this evil government in power. And the evil government is portrayed by the Israeli news media and by the Israeli politicians and by everybody else as a right-wing government. This is a right-wing government? Their policies couldn't be more destructive for the Jewish people. We're the only ones telling the truth. Again, Moshe Ya'alon admitted this in the Knesset, admitted in the Israeli parliament. There are 31 Arab building projects going on now, and not one Jewish building project. This is a Jewish government? And once again, imagine in the United States if you had a situation where the United States government said, only Jews cannot live here. only Jews cannot build and Jews cannot live here because they're Jews. They're not allowed, because if you're Jewish, you're not allowed to build, you're not allowed to live here because you're Jewish. But Arab Muslims who hate the Jews and want to destroy the Jews, they could build and do whatever they want, anywhere they want, everywhere, everywhere and every, and anywhere, and the government will back them and support them and push, and will push their program forward. If you had a government, if you had a government in the United States, or France, or Sweden, or Russia, or any, or China, or Timbuktu, that had a policy like this, the whole world would be saying, what anti-Semites, what Jew haters, this is what the Nazis did. This is Judenrein, like the Nazis. Everybody would be saying that. But the fact is, these policies are not taking place in the United States, or France, or Australia, or Antarctica. They're taking place in the Jewish state from Jewish leaders doing this to their own people. And no one speaks out except for us. That's the first video. And the catastrophe that is unfolding here, the catastrophe is unbelievable. If God forbid this continues, and if God forbid we have a Palestinian state created, I mean, they're creating a Palestinian state and everything but name on the ground, so that all the Arabs will have to do is just say, we have a Palestinian state on the ground, and now we're just declaring that here it is. That's all the Arabs will have to do with these policies. That's what these policies are leading us to. Just a catastrophe. And no one speaks about this. That's the first video. And again, we did one in English, one in Hebrew. The second video, Arabs in Algeria decided to dig up a Jewish grave and remove the body. And I'm mentioning this because 20,000 people, when we posted this on Facebook, 20,000 people came to see it on our Facebook page. We have 20,000 people that came to view this picture. Not everybody joined our Facebook page. We only have a little bit over 2,000 likes on the English Facebook page, but over 20,000 people came to see it. And I think the reason they came to see it is because you don't see it anywhere in the news media. The Jew-hating world media and the Jew-hating Israeli media are completely ignoring the story. You know, if Jews had decided to dig up a Muslim grave and remove the Muslim body and then post it on the internet like these Arabs did, the Arab Muslims, they posted it on the internet, they're bragging about it. And all the Arab Muslims coming to see it and say, oh, what a great job you did. Good, you should dig up those Jewish graves from those Jewish bodies from the graves. That's good. That's what you should do to the Jews. Look at how much these people hate us. It's not enough that they every day use stones and knives and guns and bombs and rockets to try to destroy the Jewish people. It's not enough that they try to do this. And they try to do it every single day, multiple times a day. There are miracles every day that prevent them from actually massacring large numbers of Jews every day. But they try every single day to do this. And every single day they are sworn in their news media and all the entire Arab news media, the entire Muslim news media in every country, promising another Holocaust, promising to wipe the Jews out. That's not enough. Promising us a Holocaust and promising to exterminate us, that's not enough. Even when Jews are dead, they hate the Jews so much that even when Jews are dead, they want to desecrate the dead bodies. Killing Jews, murdering Jews is not even enough for them. They want to continue to attack the Jews even when they're dead. They hate the Jews so much. That's the second video that we did, one in English and one in Hebrew. Again, it'll be a couple of days probably before you see these videos because it takes me hours to put the video through the program so that it could be turned into a video that I could upload onto YouTube. Even though the videos have been recorded, I've recorded the videos. They're already, the recording is already. But I actually have to put it through a program and it takes hours to develop each of these videos, and there are four of them. So it might take a couple of days before you see them. But that's what we're doing on our videos. You see, we're telling a truth that no one else will tell. We're saying things on our new news pages that no one else will say. We say things on our videos no one else will say. Now, what do you think would happen? What do you think would happen if millions of Jews in Israel saw these things all the time, saw our information all the time? As we release it, the minute we release it, millions of people were seeing it. What do you think would happen? You think Netanyahu and Yalon and all these other anti-Semites would be able to get away with their anti-Semitic building freeze? You think they'd be able to get away with leaving the Jewish people open to another Holocaust by allowing Iran to build nuclear bombs and doing nothing about it when they can militarily destroy that program easily? You think they'd be able to get away with caving in on their hands and knees to every Jew hater in the world, Barack Hussein Obama, John Kerry, the European Union, the United Nations? You think they'd be able to get away with that? I'm telling you, fellow JTFers, that if only we could be exposed to large numbers of people, something which we proved when we had the Facebook page that got over 27,000 likes in 3 months, if only we were exposed to large numbers of people, we'd get large numbers of supporters. We'd have a mass movement very quickly. Very quickly, we'd have a mass movement. And if we had a mass movement, we would change Jewish history. It wouldn't be the same. The world wouldn't be the same place if we had a mass movement. That's the key to our survival. And I can't even get enough money. I can't get a big enough budget to give us a mass movement quickly. It takes us this long and drawn out process, which we have to do, and we need your support. We need you to help us. Because we still have to do what we have to do with what we've got. We have no other choice. We've got to work as quickly as we can and try to get as many people as we can. But I can't get people to put together a fundraising campaign where we'd have several million dollars so we could become a mass movement quickly. I mean, do you realize what this could do for us? And when I say for us, I mean for the Jewish people, for the world. Anyway, at least you, my fellow JTFers, I hope understand the urgency of the situation. And so, help us. Help us, but get serious about helping us. That means every single one of you listening to this, you should join and comment on our news site, on our new news site. JTF.org is our English news site. Hayamin.org is our Hebrew news site. And spread the word about our news sites. Spread the word to everybody you can. And, of course, we need your financial support. The more financial support we have, the more quickly we can reach people, the better chance we have of saving the Jews from their own leaders and from their own insanity. Because that's what it's all about. The main problem is the Jews themselves are nuts. They're nuts. Nobody else has policies like this. They're cuckoo. We still have to do it, even though it's very annoying and frustrating, we still have to save them. God commands us to save them, and God commands us to do everything we can to alert them and wake them up. That's our role in this world. We have to do everything we can to do that. And you can help us. Every check, every money order, every cash donation makes a real difference. It really makes a difference. It enables us to reach new people. It enables us to wake people up. It enables us to grow a little faster every time you help us. So we really need your help. We need your financial support. And there are those who prefer sending checks and money orders and cash donations through the regular mail to our post office box. Other people prefer to do it online with their credit card by going to the donate button on the Hebrew main site. The Hebrew main site is hayamin.org. There's a donate button in English on top, and you can help on top by clicking on the donate button. Let's do this as a team. Let's work to make this a success. It's absolutely essential. It's absolutely essential that this, that what we're doing be successful. Again, 20,000 people just saw the article that we have up on the forum and on the Facebook page. You can see that we have over 20,000 views on it. 20,000 people saw that. You can imagine what would happen if we had a real budget. You can imagine what would happen. You can imagine what we could do. You can imagine what we could be. What a better world this would be. But if we work as a team, we'll still get there. Let's hope we can get there in time. If we work as a team, we'll get there. It's just going to be much slower if we don't get the budget that we need. It's going to be much slower. And I hope it's not going to be too late. But we are obligated to do everything we can. Help us. Join with us. Let's work together. Let's fight together to make this happen. And let's hope that, God willing, we reach enough people in time to prevent catastrophe. Okay, let's go to the questions from our great JTFers. Okay, and we start off with our great friend Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, what would you like to see happen in the Ferguson case? Thanks, unquote. I'd like to see the police officer recognized for having done what he was supposed to do. That's what every policeman should do under those circumstances. And I would like to see the black liars who testified under oath in front of the grand jury and lied and contradicted the testimony of all the other witnesses and made up stories about what the police officer supposedly did, and they just made up stories. All the other witnesses said that this police officer acted properly, and they backed up his story. But these black liars that committed perjury in that grand jury should all be prosecuted for perjury. Every one of them should be prosecuted, and they should be sent to jail and for as long as possible. Because black people are allowed to lie in front of grand juries, are allowed to lie in front of regular juries and jury trials, are allowed to serve on juries and let black criminals off. They distort the whole system so that we don't have a criminal justice system, we have a criminal injustice system. They rig the whole system. They knowingly lie and they get away with it. And I'd like to see justice against them. Of course, we're not going to see that. We're not going to see that. But you're asking me what I would like to see, and that's what I would like to see. Thank you, Joe Gutfeld. And we go now to our great friend Smash Islam, who writes, and I quote, one, expose notorious pederast Hakeem Bey. Is he a Muslim? Unquote. Well, Hakeem Bey, his real name, first of all, is Peter Wilson. And he adopts this Hebrew name because he's an anarchist. And the reason he's an anarchist, he doesn't want laws so that he could sexually abuse boys. He writes columns for NAMBLA. He writes articles for NAMBLA. NAMBLA is an organization of admitted gay pedophiles. It's called the North American Man-Boy Love Association. These are sick, evil men, none of whom should be free. None of them should be out on the street. These evil, sick men who go around and abuse little boys. And I mean and little boys, even little kids, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6-year-old boys sometimes. And this organization, NAMBLA, promotes it. And this animal, who now calls himself Hakeem Bey, his real name is Peter Wilson, he writes for NAMBLA. And he uses the Arabic name because there were many cults in Islamic history that practiced homosexual pedophilia. There are actually cults, Islamic cults, that supported and practiced this type of behavior, homosexual pedophilia. It's actually a part of Islamic tradition. Nowadays, you have regimes like the regime in Iran, where they actually hang Muslims, they actually kill, and actually hang homosexuals, they actually kill them, in some cases. But look at how Islam works. In Iran, for instance, they hang homosexuals. In some cases, they hang them. But in other cases, they permit thousands of them to have sex change operations. The Ayatollahs have ruled that men who want to become women and women who want to become men, they can have a sex change operation. And in fact, Iran, I think, is the second biggest country for sex change operations in the world. Because the Ayatollahs and the Imams have said it's okay. It's okay to have surgery in order to change your sex, supposedly. Of course, you can't really change your sex. The whole thing is an absurd attack on nature. But in Iran, you're allowed to do that. In Iran, it's perfectly okay to have a sex change operation. But in other cases, when they catch homosexuals who haven't had a sex change operation, they hang them. So there's a lot of inconsistency. There's a lot of insanity. They do things in an absolute, because it's an insane religion with insane people. But this animal, Hakeem Bey, who likes to attack little boys and likes to rape little boys, this filthy animal, or he supports, let's put it this way. He supports an organization. He writes for an organization, NAMBLA, which supports the rape and attack of little boys, which supports homosexual pedophilia. So this animal, which supports that concept, whether or not he himself, whether or not he himself has actually raped little boys, he writes for people who support homosexual pedophilia. And so this beast uses Arabic names because in the Arab tradition, in the Muslim tradition, there's a history of this abomination. Smash Islam now writes, two, discuss rape allegations against Bill Cosby, another hero, quote-unquote, of black America, unquote. This is just example 1 million. All of these blacks, O.J. Simpson was also a great hero. Remember, he was supposed to be the great football hero. He was the popular guy who did all of the commercials for the car rental agencies, and he was always on commercials. He was always on TV. He was considered to be the ultimate example of a clean-cut black football player, a wonderful football player. Everybody liked him, O.J. Simpson. He brutally murdered two people in cold blood, including the mother of his own children. Bill Cosby, this other guy who was also supposed to be, as you mentioned, another great hero of black America. 16 women have now come forward and say that are saying that he sexually attacked them, that he raped them and sexually attacked them. 16 different women. 12 women attest to the fact that they were drugged by him. He drugged 12 different women to rape them, in order to rape them. How come he's not being prosecuted, by the way? I mean, some of these charges, like some of the, you know, rape, in most states, there's no statute of limitations on rape charges. How come he's not being charged? Why isn't he being prosecuted? 16 women come forward, you can't make a case out of that? 12 women say they were drugged? You put them on the stand in front of a black jury, he wouldn't get convicted. A black jury, a black jury would let anybody off. You saw they let off O.J. Simpson. They let off anybody. But in front of a normal jury, you put him on a jury in front of normal human beings, in front of humans for a change. You know, he should be convicted on these rape charges. I mean, this evil animal, I think he should be executed. I believe rapists should be, I believe someone who gives drugs to a woman and rapes her, I think a person like that should be put to death. But no, he's the big hero, he's the one who lectures black people about black culture and how blacks are supposed to be more moral and how they have to clean up their act. Remember, he was supposed to be the good guy. Look what we have here. Ugh, what a community. What a joke. And the blacks are portrayed by Hollywood and the news media as the wonderful great people. The victims of white racism and the wonderful great people. Yeah, sure. Thank you, Smash Islam. And we go now to the great wandering samurai 81, who writes, and I quote, "Your thoughts on these cities, Detroit, Washington, D.C., Las Vegas, Atlanta, and Newark. Which is the most disgusting out of the five?" Unquote. They're all, of course, horrible. I think Washington, D.C. is the most disgusting because Washington, D.C. has the, you know, Barack Hussein Obama and the State Department and the Congress and all these crooks and animals that are destroying the United States. I think they're situated in Washington, D.C., so that makes that the most disgusting city. Of course, Detroit, Washington, Atlanta, and Newark are all overwhelmingly zoos. They're not cities. They're a giant zoo. A giant zoo with chimpanzees and orangutans and baboons and apes and monkeys running around. And stealing and robbing and raping and murdering. That's what you have in these cities. Las Vegas is, of course, a terrible place because it promotes gambling, which is a horrible vice, that very destructive, horrible, evil, sinful vice that only leads to bad things. People should not gamble. Gambling is very bad. It's sinful, it's wrong, it's very bad and very destructive. So they're all terrible places, but I would say the worst, you want to know which is the most disgusting, would be Washington, D.C. because of the reasons I mentioned. Thank you, Wandering Samurai. And we go now to our good friend Aluf Abir, who writes, and I quote, "Do you think the prosecution, conviction, and sentencing of Sholom Rubishkin was fair?" Unquote. Sholom Rubishkin. Okay. Sholom Rubishkin, by the way, is a Chabad Lubavitcher Jew who had a kosher business. He had a kosher meat business in the state of Iowa. And the government claimed that there was tax evasion and other, I mean, things that ordinarily people get probation for the first time. It's a white-collar offense. Usually people get probation or they get, they get 1 year, 2 years in prison. I know because I was in the prison system. Believe me, that's what you usually get. But the problem is Sholom Rubishkin, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, Rubishkin. Sholom Rubishkin was a Jew and a religious Jew. So the Jew-hating federal judge in Iowa worked with the prosecution to get him convicted, by the way. I mean, very improper behavior took place in that case, which you never see in any other cases. He got 27 years in prison and a $27 million restitution payment. In other words, he owes $27 million in restitution and 27 years in prison. The government, by the way, requested 25 years. So the judge actually gave him more than the government. Even the government's request was also an obscene Jew-hating request, 25 years for this. And the judge went even further and said, no, 25 years is not enough. I'm giving him 27 years in prison. Now, let me explain something. Under federal law, since 1987, there is no parole in the federal system. In other words, you must do at least 85% of your sentence. So his release date, he's got a release date that in 2033. His release date is 2033, and he's already been in the prison system for several years. He's been in the since 2009, 2010. I don't remember exactly when, but he's been in the prison system for years already. He's already been in prison for about 5 years. And his release is the day when he's first eligible for release is 2033. That's what they've done to this guy. He's a father with 10 children. They claim he was evading taxes. And they claim he did various other things to avoid that he violated federal regulations and evaded taxes and so on and so forth. 27 years? 27 years in prison for this? Just a complete miscarriage of justice. They railroaded this guy. It was outrageous. Thank you, Aluf Abir. I'm glad you asked me about that. That's an important subject. And we go now to the great Lewinsky stinks, Dr. Brennan Rocks, who writes, and I quote, "Are golems real?" Unquote. A golem is supposed to be a figure that was created, a giant figure that was created by a rabbi to protect the Jewish people against anti-Semitic pogromists. No, it's not real. No. This is something that it really, when we speak about the golem, we speak about having this great protector that can go and protect the Jewish people. You know, we have something that can do that. If we had a Jewish state and a Jewish army that acted like Jews, we would have that. We've returned to our homeland. That's the only place where we'll get real protection. But anyway, no, it's not. It isn't real. It's a symbolic story. And now Lewinsky Stinks writes, and I quote, "What percent of Israel supports abortion?" Unquote. A majority of Israeli Jews would say that they're against it. They would tell you they're against it, but they're not really against it. They would say they're against it because Israeli Jews are not like American Jews. Israeli Jews lean to the right. American Jews are very left-wing, of course, most of them, unfortunately, because they're self-hating and assimilated. And they're not real Jews anymore. I mean, they're leaving the Jewish faith. They're not interested in being Jews. But most Israeli Jews lean to the right. And so most Israeli Jews would tell you that they're pro-life. But then when you ask them, should we outlaw abortions and what the conditions should be and so on and so forth, I don't know if a majority would agree to laws outlawing abortion. Of course, if we're in power, we're going to do everything we can to outlaw abortion. We of course, are pro-life. I believe that abortion should be outlawed for Jewish babies. I think that for Arab Muslims, we should have retroactive abortion. Retroactive abortion means even after they're born, we would give Arab terrorists abortions. Arab terrorists, we would give them abortions. And not only that, a lot of their Jewish leftist supporters deserve to be aborted. And I'm talking about retroactively, even after they've been born. So, anyway, but in all seriousness, many Israeli Jews are against it. On the other hand, it's very widespread in Israel. Tens of thousands of women have abortions every year. And I would say probably about 3 million Jewish babies have been aborted since the creation of the Jewish state. Can you imagine if those 3 million Jewish babies had been born and they grew up and they had more babies and they had more children? The Jewish state would be, instead of 6 million Jews, we'd have 12 million Jews in Israel now, at least. I mean, the Jewish state would be at least twice as big as it is now. Can you imagine what a better world this would be without this cursed, evil behavior? Anyway, we're struggling to teach the Jews of Israel why this is such a terrible practice and why this should be outlawed. Lewinsky Stinks now writes, and I quote, "Might Nafrodi be an EU plant, a European Union plant?" Nafrodi meaning Naftali Bennett. Naftali Bennett is interested in only one thing. He's interested in Naftali Bennett. He wants to become prime minister, God forbid. He's a complete phony fraud. And he's been part of this evil Netanyahu government for years now, has allowed all these terrible things to happen, never says a word. I mean, he occasionally issues statements, but his statements contradict everything that he does in the real world. He is a terrible, terrible individual. You know, of course, you know that recently he said 99.9% of the Arabs in the land of Israel are loyal to Israel, support Israel. 99.9% of the Arabs support Israel. Can you believe this? Why do 95% of them vote for Arab parties that openly call for the destruction of Israel? That Naftali Bennett will never explain to us, because he's a fraud, a liar, a con man, and not a word out of his mouth is true or worth anything. Is he an EU plant? I don't think he's a plant, but he will do the bidding of anyone that will give him power. And if the price is that the Jewish people have to pay a price, God forbid, and the Jewish people have to lose everything, God forbid, so that he could be powerful and rich, he'll pay that price, because he's a complete fraud. Lewinsky Stinks now writes, and he'll justify in his mind. He'll say, well, I was trying to, you know, get the best deal I could under the circumstances. I had no choice. I had to give in to pressure. I had the same thing Netanyahu says, the same thing all of the, you know, all of the evil leaders that give in to pressure from Jew haters always say. Lewinsky Stinks now writes, could Rand Paul be Gog, unquote. Gog, of course, is going to be the leader who is going to lead the kingdom of Magog, and Magog is going to be a great world superpower and the whole world, lead the whole world into war against Israel, and try to unite, by the way, the Western world and the Muslim world against Israel. That's what the Gog is going to attempt to do. In the end, the Western world and the Muslim world, of course, are going to fight each other also, but in the meantime, they're going to try to destroy Israel. Could Rand Paul be this leader that will lead a world campaign to destroy Israel, and literally a war to destroy Israel, the final war of Gog and Magog? I don't know. Anything is possible. Who knows? I know one thing. Rand Paul is a Jew hater. He's an enemy of the Jewish people. Everything he does is so evil. He is campaigning to the left of Obama on every major issue. He runs to meet with Al Sharpton. We're going to be doing videos on him, of course. He runs to meet with Al Sharpton and says that all the black criminals should be released. He says nonviolent drug offenders should be released from prison. Nonviolent, in other words, what he calls nonviolent drug offenders, if you have a crack pusher who sells poison to children in his community, he's a nonviolent drug offender. He should be released. That's what Rand Paul wants to do. That's in effect. That is in effect legalizing all drugs. That is what Rand Paul is advocating when he says that. He says you can't put in prison people who sell drugs unless they've committed an act, what he calls an act of violence. To me, someone who sells drugs is a mass murderer. But according to Rand Paul, no, that's not true. If he sells drugs, that's nothing. As long as he hasn't committed an act of violence, you can't put him in prison. That means we would be releasing hundreds of thousands of black mass drug dealers, and they are the most violent, vicious people. Rand Paul thinks that black crack dealers and black heroin dealers and cocaine and the cocaine dealers, he thinks these hundreds of thousands of people that are locked up in prison now, thank God, he thinks these hundreds of thousands of people are nonviolent, and if you release them on the streets, it won't cause disaster for society. That's what Rand Paul advocates doing. And I mean, that's just one out of a zillion issues. He's in favor of amnesty, of course. He would open up our borders even more than Obama. He is the worst nightmare for the American people. The worst nightmare, and we've got to warn people about him. Lewinsky Stinks now writes, and I quote, discuss Wendy Davis and Kevin McDonald. Wendy Davis was the Democrat candidate for governor of Texas. She claimed to be a Christian. If she's a Christian, I'm the Ayatollah of Iran, if she's a Christian. That hideous animal. She had a filibuster in the Texas state legislature on behalf of aborting babies to murder babies, and she calls herself a Christian. I mean, that's a real Democrat. The lowest and most vile, hypocrite, phony scum. Thank God the people of Texas voted her down, but you know, if we keep having this open border, eventually the people of Texas will elect people like her. That's going to happen. Texas is going to turn into a left-wing state like California, like New York, God forbid. But it's coming. It's coming if we keep it, if we have this open border. Kevin MacDonald. Kevin MacDonald is a Jew-hating Scottish director. He did a documentary supporting the 1972 Munich massacre when the PLO Nazi terrorists, that was Abu Mazen Mahmoud Abbas, by the way, who was behind the Munich massacre. He was the one who directed the Munich massacre of 11 Israeli athletes at the Munich Olympics in 1972. Kevin MacDonald did a documentary on this where he supported and tried to glorify the Muslim terrorist mass murderers. He's just a Scottish Jew-hating director. Yimach Shmo V'Zichro. Thank you, Lewinsky Stinks. And we go now to the great Tag Mechir Tzedek, who writes, and I quote, "One, who are bigger savages, blacks or Arabs?" Unquote. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. I don't know. I mean, the brutality, you look at the Arab world, millions of Arabs have been slaughtered in the most brutal way by their fellow Arabs. Just massacred in the most brutal way every time they get a weapon, every time they get any means. If they only have knives or sticks or guns, they'll use that. If they have poison gas in Iraq or chemical weapons in Syria or any other means at their disposal, then they'll massacre huge numbers of their own women and children. Just so brutal, so cruel, the Arabs. So cruel and so brutal. In Lebanon and in Syria, they send their kids around with jars of blood from Christians that they've slaughtered. They fill the jars of blood and then they cut off their genitals and put them in jars and pickle the jars to preserve the genitals and give them to their sons as trophies so their sons can run around the neighborhood bragging, look what my dad did. Look what my dad did to this other Arab. I mean, the brutality, the cruelty of these beasts, it's just unbelievable. Blacks, you look at Africa, is it really that different? Look at the brutality. I mean, you probably have about 30 different crazy wars going on in Africa right now. The Africans are all slaughtering each other. If they're not slaughtering each other, they're all giving each other AIDS and Ebola and West Nile virus and every other disease under the sun because they eat their own excrement and they smear excrement all over their bodies because they're too lazy to take a bath, so they smear excrement to keep the flies off. I mean, they're so unsanitary and so disgusting, you know, that they create all of these diseases and then the whole world suffers for it. And then just the sheer bestial nature of the behavior. I can't even decide between the two of them. I think that it's almost a tie. Let's put it that way. Tag Mechir now writes, and I quote, "Two, Europeans." And by the way, when I say blacks or Arabs, of course there are black people who, like Pastor Manning, who are wonderful people. You have exceptions to the rule, but they're exceptions. They're exceptions. In general, it's just the brutality, the cruelty is just beyond it's just beyond the understanding of anyone who's a decent human being. Tag Mechir now writes, "Two, your opinion of Eli Yishai," unquote. Eli Yishai is a leader in Shas. He sold his soul to the devil. He doesn't like Aryeh Deri, who is an extreme leftist who took over Shas. But Eli Yishai stayed in Shas. He stayed in Shas. He stayed with Arav Ovadia when Arav Ovadia said everybody has to support the Oslo agreements, everybody has to support Arafat and the PLO terrorists and bringing the terrorists into Israel and support giving away Jewish land and support all the other terrible things that the Israeli government did. Arav Ovadia said, no, we have to support this. We have to support Shimon Peres. We have to make Shimon Peres the president of Israel. He ordered all the Shas people to vote in favor of Shimon Peres as president of Israel. Eli Yishai was a member of the Knesset when that vote took place, and he voted for Shimon Peres as well. So he's part of it. He's guilty. I'm sorry. He's as guilty as anyone else. If he's in there, he's as guilty as anyone else. Three, Moshe Kahalon. Kahalon. Moshe Kahalon is a left-wing Israeli politician who was in the Likud. He posed as a so-called right-winger. Then, you know, finally, Now he admits that he's left-wing. He left the Likud. He's a political demagogue and a prostitute. He wants to form his own political party. He says he's going to fight for the rights of of people who are not getting enough assistance from the government. In other words, he's demand more government handouts and more socialism in Israel. We don't have enough socialism. That's his basic policy. He also condemns the Jews in Judea and Samaria, condemns Jews living in the liberated lands. He's against it. He's a leftist. He condemns Netanyahu. He says Netanyahu's not left-wing enough. Netanyahu doesn't use enough diplomacy. In other words, he doesn't cave in. Netanyahu, who's giving in to everything. Everything he's giving into. According to Moshe Kahalon, Netanyahu's not left-wing enough. I don't know what he thinks that Netanyahu should be doing in addition to that. He's already freezing. There's an anti-Semitic building freeze. He's offering creating a so-called Palestine state. He's allowing Iran to build nuclear bombs. And people like Moshe Kahalon say he's not left-wing enough. So, you know, it's a measure of how crazy the Jews are in this generation. 4, Knesset parties list that ban Kach, unquote. All the parties are guilty. Not one party in the Knesset, not one person stood up and defended Rabbi Kahana and opposed his being banned. Not one. Not one. Likud, the Labor Party, Miflegat Avodah, which means the Labor Party in Hebrew, Hamaftal, which is the National Religious Party, Techiah was the so-called, was supposed to be the so-called right-wing party that was supposed to represent Jewish settlers, that was really the Yesha Council party, that now is Naftali Bennett and Maftal have all combined. They're all the same vermin. All of them supported and worked to ban Kach. Left and right, so-called religious and secular, all of them were guilty. Not one of them stood up and defended justice and stood for the right thing. All of them are guilty. And they will answer for that on Yom HaDin, on the Day of Judgment. They will answer for that. I, without hesitation, am saying that and saying it publicly. God will make them answer for that crime. What everyone who was responsible for banning the great Rabbi Kahana and for preventing Rabbi Kahana from saving the Jewish people and bringing redemption to the Jewish people, anyone who was part of that dirty process will pay and pay dearly on Yom HaDin, on the Day of Judgment. Thank you, Tag Mechir, and we go now to the great Da Vinci, who writes, and I quote, according to Baron Bohm, there should be a difference between Richard Wagner as a man, who was an anti-Semite, and his music, which was not. Your response, unquote. Oh, how absurd. How absurd. Anyone who listens to that garbage, and I don't care what the music, I don't care if you like it, don't like it. Anyone who listens to that Nazi filth and enjoys the music is enjoying something that a Nazi produced. Is enjoying something that someone who inspired Hitler produced. And that is bad for the soul. You don't listen to music from Nazis and evil people. Because you don't, after you've listened to their music, if you enjoy their music, then you don't think they're that bad anymore. They wear down your moral compass and your conscience. It's the worst thing you can do. You don't expose yourself to that from enemies of righteousness and justice and good. So this guy, Barenboim, complete traitor, scum of the earth. These are people who care more about culture than human beings, who in the name of culture would allow and did allow the Holocaust to take place and would allow another one to take place, God forbid. Thank you, Da Vinci. And we go now to our great friend Manj, who writes, I meant, Arabs are irrelevant. They're no guiltier than a snake living in the house biting owners. The blame isn't shared, but is solely on the Israeli regime, unquote. Well, I think the Arabs certainly, I think the Arabs are human beings, but they're very evil human beings. Hitler was also a human being, and it shows how evil human beings can be. Arabs do have free will, and they're making a choice. They're making an evil choice, a cruel and evil choice, to want to exterminate the Jewish people. They don't have to make that choice. They could say, we live in 22 states here, and we have 600 times as much land as the Jews. We want peace, and the Jews have a right to their country, and we're going to live in our country. They could make that choice, but they won't, because they're evil, cruel, jealous, vicious people. So they certainly are guilty. But I agree with you, Manch, I agree with you, Manch, that if the Israeli government and the Israeli and the Israelis did what was right, we would be able to take care of that problem. Even though the Arabs have hundreds of millions of people and there are only 6 million Jews in Israel, we would be able to defeat them. We would be able to win and win easily, and we'd be able to handle the problem. There's no question about that, if the Jews did what was right. And so the Jewish leaders really are responsible, and they are the root cause of the problem, yes. They're the root cause of the problem because the solution is with the Jews, not with the Arabs. You're never going to solve Arab hatred for the Jews. You're never going to. They're always going to be hating and jealous and vicious toward the Jewish people. That's always going to be true. The only way we're going to have a solution is if the Jews wake up and if we have real Jewish leaders. On that point, you're certainly right, Manch. And we go now to our great friend Surgical Jew, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, please provide your analysis and insight on the years of forced secularization of Jews in Israel, especially religious Jews from the East, unquote. Okay. About half of Israel's Jewish population are what we call Sfaradim. We used to call them Sfaradim, now we call them Mizrahim. Mizrahim means Easterners. They're Jews that grew up in the Muslim world for the most part, or in other third world countries. And they came to the land of Israel, they were religious, they were nationalistic, they were proud Jews, they were very good Jews. And the Israeli government literally forced them, I mean literally threatened them. If you don't vote for Ben-Gurion and you don't support us and support our policies, and if you don't send your children to the schools we're telling you to send your children to send them to, then you're going to starve to death. You will not get any work. There'll be no employment for you. And your towns will be neglected unless your town votes for Ben-Gurion and the Labor Party. Your town is going to be neglected, or was at that time was called Mapai. The party was actually called Mapai at that time. Your town is going to be neglected. Your children are going to starve. You won't get any job. You'll have no employment. And so on. And this is what they did to the Jews. They also, they took their children. They said, don't worry, we'll give your children a religious education. Send your children to our schools. We're going to give them a religious education. Don't worry, we're going to teach them about Judaism. What did they do? They took the kids, they sent these religious Jewish kids to the schools, and they taught them Judaism is nonsense. You're crazy. There is no God. What are you talking about? The Torah is nonsense. This is all crazy. We're all socialists. We're chalutzim. Chalutzim means pioneers. This is ridiculous. The commandments in the Torah are outdated. It's nonsense. This is what your backward primitive parents believed in, and what your grandparents believed in. They were silly people. That's what they taught them. And they punished anyone who did not follow. That was punished. Didn't get a job, didn't get work, lived a miserable life. There were some who, despite all of that, remained religious and refused to give in. But most people, as is with human nature, gave in. Most people were frightened and gave in. And this is what took place. 10,000 Jewish babies from Yemen were stolen from their mothers, were kidnapped from their mothers. Their mothers, their parents, they're in the hospital, and all of a sudden their parents are told, oh, your baby died. The parents say, but wait a minute, we were just with the baby a couple of hours ago. He was perfectly healthy. He was, well, how could he just die? No, your baby died. Well, where's the body? We want the body. We want to bury the body. No, no, we can't give you the body. It's against our procedure. You can't have the body. You can't see the body. They took these babies from Yemen and they put them on anti-religious kibbutzim, and they sold them on the black market in Israel and in other countries. And in the end, and the parents never saw their babies again. 10,000 Jewish babies were kidnapped from their families. That was the policy of the progressive, enlightened socialists who took over the state of Israel when the state of Israel was created. They speak about racism all the time. They're the biggest racists on the face of the earth. They hate Sephardic Jews. They hate Mizrahi Jews. They hate religious Jews. They're basically, I mean, I can't say, by the way, that it's only the Sephardi or Mizrahi Jews, because what they did to the Ashkenazi Jews during the Holocaust, they were responsible for murdering millions of Ashkenazi Jews in the Holocaust. So these people, they're basically just Jewish anti-Semites. There's no other way to describe it. Jewish anti-Semites. And if we are in power, we will expose everything they did. We're going to teach Jews in school and teach the Jewish people all the crimes that were committed. We're going to prove and recount and bring to the Jewish people's attention all the terrible things these people did, so that they'll know the terrible crimes that were committed, and they'll know what our people went through under the Erev Rav, under these anti-Semitic traitor leaders, and why we should never go back to having them as our leaders. Thank you, Surgical Jew. And we go now to our great friend, Chicago Jew, who writes, and I quote, "Do you know Wayne Allen Root? What is your opinion of him?" Unquote. I do, and he's a very evil Jewish, he's a Jewish-born apostate who converted, who left the Jewish religion. He converted. He's a complete fraud and an opportunist. He was a member of the, first he claimed to be a big Republican, then he became a Jew-hating, then he joined the Jew-hating Libertarian Party, then he went back to the Republican Party. He keeps flipping back and forth between the parties to try to find a spot which will be better for him, so he'll get more interviews and sell books and do other things. He's a fraud, an opportunist, a political prostitute, the lowest of the low. Any Jew that leaves the Jewish faith is a traitor. Is a traitor. It's an unforgivable crime and a sin. And this animal did do that, and all his life, all he does is betray every principle. He's against everything the Torah stands for, and he's against everything moral and good. On issue after issue, he's against everything moral and good. He's a true libertarian. I mean, he should be in Rand Paul's anti-Semitic campaign. He belongs there. He would fit in perfectly with the other libertarian. Thank you, Chicago Jew. And we go now to the great EB22, who writes, and I quote, "What was the real reason why the National Guard wasn't in Ferguson, Missouri, Monday night, following the grand jury decision not to charge Officer Wilson," unquote. Because they wanted to give them a chance to vent. They wanted to give the black rioters a chance to vent and express themselves by burning down the city. Same thing they did in Crown Heights, except in Crown Heights, they let this happen for 4 days and four nights, and they wound up murdering two people. They murdered two Jews. They murdered Yonkel Rosenbaum, and they murdered, in cold blood, they stabbed him to death. The black mob screaming, "Kill the Jew," in Crown Heights. This was in 1991, the Crown Heights pogroms in the Crown Heights section of Brooklyn. They murdered Yonkel Rosenbaum, and they murdered a Jewish concentration camp survivor. She was murdered. She died in her apartment because of these riots. So two Jews were murdered, and you had 500,000 or 600,000 blacks in Bedford-Stuyvesant and all the communities surrounding Crown Heights terrorizing 20,000 Jews. And that was allowed to take place for 4 days and four nights. In Ferguson, it only happened for one night because people were outraged and people spoke out quickly. But same mentality. Let's not bring in too much force there. Let's give people a chance to vent. What does vent mean? They destroyed and burned down businesses and robbed and stealing. I mean, this is how they protest what happened to this innocent police officer. How do they protest? By going into stores and stealing electrical appliances and stealing everything that wasn't tied down. Stealing everything from all these stores. Most of the businesses were black owned. They put black owned businesses out of business. They bankrupted all these black business people and burned their stores down. After they stole everything, they burned the stores down. Thank you, EB22. And we go now to the great paper cut, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim, I want to wish all of my JTF friends and to those serving the U.S. military and IDF a happy Thanksgiving," unquote. Thank you so much, Paper Cut. God bless you and God bless your family. You really are a wonderful person, and it is such a pleasure. It's such a pleasure to have you on our forum, and I'm so glad we got to know you. We know you on Facebook, and we know you on our forum, and it really is a pleasure, Paper Cut. God bless you and God bless your family. And we go now to the great Dr. Dan, the voice of reason, common sense, and logic, who writes, and I quote, "One, comment on Ferguson rioters' riots," unquote. Well, as I mentioned before with EB22, the one aspect of the riots that we saw in all the riots that have been taking place, black rioting since the 1960s, they always burn their own neighborhoods down. They burn the stores that service their own community and their own people down. You notice that? You don't see them going into white neighborhoods and burning the white stores down. They burn their own neighborhoods down, their own communities. Their own people suffer because of their behavior. Oh, what low IQ imbeciles. What imbeciles. Dr. Dan now writes, "Two, comment on good Jewish Shoah survivors who get offended when capo and Nazi is used to describe evil Jews," unquote. Well, they're doing something terrible if they don't think we should use capo and Nazi to describe evil Jews. Because that's why we had a Holocaust. Because we tolerated evil Jews. If we hadn't tolerated evil Jews, if we had had righteous Jewish leaders, there never would have been a Holocaust. If righteous Jews had been in charge, there would never have been a Holocaust. It's a fact. We could have gotten the Jews out of Europe into the land of Israel. There were plans to do that. But Jewish traitors like David Ben-Gurion and Chaim Weizmann, who are capos and Nazis, they prevented that from happening. Evil Jews enabled the German Nazi murderers to do what they did and the other European Nazi murderers. So unless we expose and punish evil Jews and defeat the evil Jews, we're never going to have a chance. You know, the Arabs are right about one thing. They don't tolerate Arabs who are traitors. They cut their throats, they kill them. They don't tolerate that. The Jews are the one people who make the worst traitors their leaders all the time. The good Jews they persecute, and the evil Jews they make as their leaders. They make them the Prime Minister of Israel. They make them the leaders in the American Jewish community. Unless we change this behavior, we're in a lot of trouble. That's why we had a Holocaust. And that's why the Jews are in such danger today, and that's why there's a spiritual Holocaust in America today. Millions of Jews are being lost and destroyed right now, spiritually. They're intermarrying, assimilating. We're losing them right now because of evil Jews, evil Jewish traitors in the Jewish establishment, in the news media, in the Jewish organizations, in Hollywood, in the Israeli government. They're promoting policies that make this possible. And unless we confront them and defeat them and overcome them and take power away from them, we're doomed to terrible catastrophe, God forbid. Thank you, Dr. Dan. And we go now to our great friend Kahana Loyalist, who writes, and I quote, "Dear Chaim, what policies are necessary to ensure Jewish labor becomes dominant in Israel again?" Unquote. Unfortunately, Kahana Loyalist, unless we become a mass movement, that isn't going to happen. That isn't going to happen. God is trying to wake the Jewish people up. And it's happening the hard way, the painful way. Jews are being stabbed and killed by Arabs that they hire to work for them. We've seen this happen. This has been happening now ever since the first Intifada, since the late 80s, and still Jews don't learn. They keep going back to the same policies. Unless we become a mass movement, unless good Jews take power and become a powerful, dominant force in Israeli life, it's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. We will promote an attitude among Jews and a decision making among Jews that will prevent businesses from hiring our enemies. We can do that if we become a big movement. Thank you, Kahana Loyalist. And we go now to our great friend, righteous Indian Gentile, who writes, and I quote, "How does the Shia Sunni infighting in Syria and Iraq help the rest of the infidel world?" Unquote. Well, when Muslims are fighting each other and killing each other, they're not murdering the rest of us. So of course it's helpful. Of course it's good. We're all in favor of this. This is why they want to interfere in the Syrian civil war. They should not interfere. Let them continue to fight each other and kill each other. What are you, crazy? Why would anybody want to interfere? Syria, Iraq, wherever they're killing each other, more power to them. I hope it spreads all over the Muslim world. Of course. Of course we want evil people to kill each other and not to murder good people. Thank you, righteous Indian Gentile. And we go now to PMN, who writes, and I quote, "Blacks are complaining that the new movie Exodus, Gods and Kings, depicts ancient Egyptians as whites instead of blacks. What's the psychology behind it?" Unquote. Well, blacks are always going to complain about it. First of all, blacks complain about everything. They're always complaining. Blacks and Arabs are what Rabbi Kahana called the eternal malcontents. They always complain. And of course, they want the Egyptians to be white because they want to prove that they had a real, that they were running a real civilization, and that a real civilization was controlled by black people. Of course, they want that. But this movie, Exodus, Gods and Kings, is a vicious Jew-hating movie, the worst type of Jew-hating movie. And again, the Jews tolerate this. If Hollywood tried to do a movie like this about Islam and about Muhammad, what they're writing with this movie, they portray Moses in the worst way possible, and the people doing the movie are basically saying saying the worst possible things about Moshe Rabbeinu, about Moses, and the Jews tolerate it. The Arabs and the Muslims, you know, let me tell you something. When the Arabs and the Muslims zealously defend their religion, even though their religion is a lie and their religion is false and evil and cruel, when they zealously defend their religion, that is something we should learn about. We should learn from them. Jews should zealously defend Judaism the way the Arabs and the Muslims zealously defend their false religion. We have the truth and we don't defend it. Their religion is a ridiculous, clownish lie. And they're willing to give their lives defending this insanity. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Jews should make sure that when there are movies like this in Hollywood, that the animals in Hollywood that do this, Yimach Shmam V'Zichram Shem Reshayim V'Yirkav, should fear the way they would fear if they tried to do it to Muslims. They should have the same fear. Thank you for the question. And we go now to the great Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, "Please share an affirmative action story about the Tel Aviv Central bus station. Since you can't be in Israel, you can share a secondhand one if you have one," unquote. Binyamin, I don't have a... There actually, I vaguely remember people telling me in Israel from our Hebrew forum, telling me things that happened to them in the Tel Aviv Central bus station, things that they experienced, fights that they got into with blacks and problems that they had with the black Africans in the Tel Aviv Central bus station. I do remember them telling me, but I don't remember the details. I just don't remember the details. Of course, South Tel Aviv, according to official Israeli government statistics that came out earlier this year, is now 61% illegal aliens from black Africa. Just from black Africa, just the illegal aliens from black Africa, already 61% of South Tel Aviv's population, Tel Aviv being the most populous, the biggest, most populous city in the state of Israel. 61% of their population are just illegal aliens from black Africa. They're taking over. We have millions of Arabs there already. And in addition to that, they're inviting hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens from black Africa to come flooding into the country. And people still say, oh, Netanyahu and his government, that they're good guys, they're tough guys. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? They're destroying the whole country. I mean, they're destroying the whole country. Binyamin now writes, comment on December 1st is World AIDS Day, unquote. Yeah, they're always emphasizing AIDS, 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 because it's a homosexual disease. Because the overwhelming majority of people who get infected with AIDS in the Western world are homosexuals. In black Africa, everybody gets it. In black Africa, because they're just beasts. I mean, they have the craziest type of sexual practices there, so they're just beasts. So they're, even heterosexuals get it. But in the Western world, you know, although prostitutes also have AIDS. Most prostitutes in major cities in the United States have AIDS. Why? Because bisexual men who are infected with AIDS, who've had sex with homosexuals, then have sex with prostitutes, and they infect the prostitutes. But this is a disease that is being transmitted primarily by homosexual sex, overwhelmingly by homosexual sex. And, of course, that's something they won't say on World AIDS Day. They're turning the AIDS patients into heroes. if we hadn't concentrated so many resources on AIDS, we might have a cure already. We might have had a cure already for Alzheimer's and cancer and diabetes and heart disease, or at least major parts of it. We would have made huge progress, but instead all the scientific medical research, I mean, most of it is concentrated on AIDS, all the time helping people with AIDS. It's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. And I have a cure for AIDS, by the way. You know, people always speak about AIDS and how they're looking for a cure for AIDS. I have a cure for AIDS that would be certain to work. That people would stop engaging in abominations. Thank you, Binyamin. And now we go to our great friend Imaknik, who writes, what is your position on the validity of an Eruv? I know Eruv is controversial amongst Jews, unquote. No, I think Eruv is, I think it's, I think you have to have an Eruv on Shabbat and on the Chagim, on the Sabbath and on the holidays. An Eruv is something that enables, is a light string that we put around a certain area that enables Jews on the Sabbath and on Chagim to leave their homes with baby carriages or carrying certain things. And I think it's pretty universally accepted right now among religious Jews. Now, the assimilated, intermarried, self-hating Jews are against it because they're against anything Jewish. Anything Jewish. I mean, they'll put Muslim things and things from every other religion. They'll stick up their tuchus. But anything Jewish, they go crazy. Because they're self-hating scum. But I think among religious Jews, it's pretty universally accepted that we have to have an Eruv. Thank you, Imaknik. And now we go to our great friend Maimonides, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, what is the biggest challenge Senator Ted Cruz faces to becoming president of the United States? Unquote. The news media. The left-wing news media is going to do everything they can to bring him down, together, of course, with the Republican establishment, but they're going to do it through the news media. We'll see if they brainwash Republican primary and caucus voters, because if Senator Ted Cruz can win the primaries and caucuses, he gets the nomination, whether the establishment likes it or not. Those primaries and caucuses choose the delegates. If he wins those primaries and caucuses, he gets the nomination. But the media is going to engage in an unprecedented campaign of smearing and scaring and the usual thing, because Senator Ted Cruz is not one of them. And that's going to be his big challenge. Can he overcome that? Not going to be easy. We're going to try to help him, but it's not going to be easy. Thank you, Maimonides. And I want to thank everybody else for another program that I very much enjoy doing. Until next week, Shalom.